It is 7:07, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Bill Handel here on a Tuesday morning, August 14th. Coming up at 8 o'clock, a couple of stories. No, excuse me, one big story, driving while texting, a huge problem. This segment, we have a couple of stories. The first one being Jack McClellan, the self-proclaimed wannabe pedophile. Actually, he probably is a pedophile. He was arrested at UCLA twice yesterday. That's kind of interesting. He's 45 years old, and he admits, as we all know, to having sexual fantasies, mind you, with prepubescent girls. And what everybody's upset about is he posts pictures he takes of little girls on a website, along with advice on where to go find little girls in public, good places to go. Now, there's no evidence or even a suggestion that he has actually molested anybody. No physical molestation has ever taken place. And he claims he created his website as a form of therapy. So he wouldn't do anything illegal. As a matter of fact, he argues that the website stops him from actually acting out on his pedophile tendencies. No criminal record whatsoever. But as we now know, his website and his public confession prompted a couple of local attorneys, Anthony Zanotti being one of them, to go to court last week and get a temporary restraining order against him. And we all thought the order wasn't going to fly, being unconstitutional. Well, local judge in Chatsworth, I guess, went the other way, because he went ahead and issued the restraining order against McClellan, and the order said, you cannot come within 30 feet of a minor in the state of California. Matter of fact, the argument that Zanotti wanted was simply in Santa Clarita Valley. And the judge said, no, we're going to make it for all of California. By the way, his website was also taken down by the internet server last month, so there's no website either. So yesterday afternoon around 1:40, there is Mr. McClellan at the UCLA Infant Development Program with a camera in his possession. Now, the Infant Development Program happens to be a bunch of offices of a university program that studies kids between the ages of 3 months to 3 years. He claims he was just going down the hallway. He was sitting on the steps of this building at UCLA, hadn't been around UCLA, went to get a drink of water and just sat down and just happened to be at this child development center. Said he never saw a kid, whatever. Someone called the police. Police take him into custody and then release him on his own recognizance. And he's ordered to appear in court on September 13th concerning the violation of court order. And he's ordered to stay away from UCLA. Guess what? 10:20 last night. UCLA. The UCLA cops see McClellan being interviewed for a TV news, actually a Channel 5 interview, at the UCLA campus parking lot. McClellan was then arrested again, this time for trespassing, because he'd been ordered to stay away from UCLA. Now, before his arrest yesterday, he already has a previous court hearing date, August 24th, concerning his preliminary injunction. The judge is going to consider making that restraining order that he issued a permanent restraining order. Now, legal scholars have suggested, and I tend to agree with them, that the injunction against McClellan might be overly broad, might be unconstitutional on its face, especially since he has yet to do anything illegal other than violating that restraining order, which may be too broad, and therefore it may in effect be illegal, which means there's no violation. We'll see. Now, the question, of course, is this guy a true menace to society, or is he just seeking attention? The general consensus around here is this guy's just a media whore. He just wants his 15 minutes, and he's doing it in such a way as to get maximum exposure, so to speak, while not actually violating any laws other than this injunction. Think about this. So the circumstances of arrest suggest, number one, either a blatant disregard for the court's temporary restraining order. That makes sense. He was issued stay away from UCLA. He goes to UCLA. But, you know, that's the same kind of arrest you have when you're at an event. You're protesting. You get popped for it. You know, Martin Sheen gets arrested every other week when he's doing something for the homeless or he's doing something against the war in Iraq. Big deal. And it looks like he's really creating media attention for himself more than anything else. Now, McClellan moved from Washington State to Southern California this year. He lived with his parents in Washington. He claims he was driven from Washington by activists and internet bloggers. Yeah, I'm wondering, is it admit driving him? And he's obviously getting a lot of scrutiny in Los Angeles, receiving big-time threats. He suffers from depression. His current address happens to be his car. That's where he lives. And he collects about $950 a month in Social Security income for mental disabilities. He is obviously a crackpot who just wants a lot of media attention. And he's getting it. And he's getting it. As of this morning, he's still sitting in jail in lieu of $5,000 bail. He's not going to make that. Very interesting case. A guy just a media whore and nothing more, nothing less. Now, I heard Zanotti being interviewed on a news station this morning. Zanotti, I understand, also is going to go back to court to not only argue the injunction being permanent, but I think also argue a contempt of court for ignoring the restraining order, which means that McClellan could get tossed into jail for that one, be given some jail time. But according to what Zanotti said, he's called the ACLU, he's called various mental health centers and said, give this guy some help. Nothing. Nothing. All he wants is attention. Okay, the other story that we're dealing with about Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick. Turns out, or the reports are, he's been offered a plea deal. And he has until Friday to decide whether to say yay or nay. He is facing federal dogfighting charges. I didn't even know there was such a thing as federal dogfighting charges. Having not been one to engage in the art of dogfighting, Vick's attorneys met with federal prosecutor Michael Gill yesterday afternoon, and they're planning to discuss the quarterback's options with him. This comes on the same day that Vick's co-defendants, Pernell Peace and Quanis Phillips, appeared in court for their plea agreement. Last month, another original co-defendant, Tony Taylor, he pled guilty to his role in the dogfighting conspiracy, and he says it was financed almost entirely by Michael Vick.
And part of his plea bargain was that, of course, that he would testify against Vick in this trial.
That's right.
Now, you mentioned that Vick has to make a decision, Bill, by Friday. And the reason is because if he decides to go ahead and not take the plea bargain, they are going to issue a superseding indictment against Vick. And they are actually going to file at least two more federal dogfighting charges against him.
He's looking at 5 years in jail. Turns out that all the guys that he was doing this with are now singing like pit bulls.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So that's not good news for him, by the way. It really isn't. Now, by the way, we don't even know what the plea bargain is yet, do we?
No.
What they've offered him. But in the meantime, no matter what they offered him, it's not looking good. The suspension, of course, his endorsement deals. I mean, as an endorser, other than, for some Korean barbecue company, it's over for him.
Right.
The NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, has not made a decision whether to even use the NFL's personal conduct policy to suspend him for the entire 2007 season.
I think that's coming, though.
You really do?
Yeah, within a week or two. No matter what happens with this plea bargain, I think he's going to be suspended for the season. Because, determining somebody's guilt or innocence, and, you're innocent until you're proven guilty, that's for the criminal justice system.
That's not for the NFL.
You got it.
The NFL can simply say no thank you. Matter of fact, he's been barred with pay at this point.
Right.
Now, he is still getting his full salary, and he's nowhere near the team.
Exactly right.
What is his pay, by the way, at this point? What's his paid vacation coming to in terms of his pay?
I think he makes probably somewhere in the $8 million a year range.
And so that's during the season he's being paid
exactly.
Per week.
Yes.
So, and how long is the season? Four months?
Mm-hmm. 16, 17 weeks.
Well, so what is 17 into $8 million?
Well, I don't have my calculator.
Whatever that is,
it's considerable.
Yeah, that's pretty good money for sitting on your butt at this point. Now, Holder, by the way, and this is Holder is, of course, the NFL guy who's making a report, could show that Vick was not in violation of policy of the NFL player conduct policy, which I don't understand how that could not happen. It could argue that no legal or suspension or other discipline was warranted. Now, is that possible, by the way, or is that impossible at this point?
I doubt that because they've already said they've received so much information, not only from the feds, but from their own security department, that they have enough to go on.
All right. And the information we have here is that Falcons owner Arthur Blank and the president and general manager Rich McKay said they had enough information that they can now suspend Vic for 4 games, which happens to be the maximum that a team can suspend a player for disciplinary reasons. I didn't know that. That's it. 4 games is all they can suspend a player
That's
for.
That's the team, though, Bill, not the league.
The league can suspend him for a year.
Exactly.
Or they can bar him, right?
Exactly, yeah. The league can take whatever action it wants, yeah.
Okay. And by the way, the Blank and McKay said there are also discussions about cutting Vic. Hey, let me ask you, in terms of, is he worth his $8 million standing alone? If this didn't happen, is he worth $8 million a year?
Yes.
Okay, so then that gets to be a fairly big discussion as to whether to cut him or not.
Yeah, he's probably the most exciting player in the National Football League.
You know, a lot of it has to do with how valuable you are to the team. You know, and we go back to Don Imus. Oh, everybody was shocked. There was no surprise that Imus was cut. He wasn't worth his $10 million a year. Frankly, Vic may be worth his $8 million a year, which means that the team hurts if they let him go, correct?
Oh, absolutely. In terms of quality of play that they'll get on the field and occur, you know, previously what they would have, you know, what he meant to the community, which is now zero, of course.
Yeah. It's...
Especially to this owner, Arthur Blank, who is an image conscious owner.
Yeah. Tough life for him. Hey, by the way, can a guy come back from this, or is it over for him?
I think he could come back and play maybe in a couple of years, but, it would take him probably a lot longer to rehabilitate his name than it did, say, for example, Kobe Bryant. Look at it. It took Kobe years to rehabilitate.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Let's say the guy becomes a dog lover, for real. Obviously, some PR hot hack is going to say, you join PETA, you join the Society for Prevention of Cruelty, the Animal, the ASPCA, and you get, and first you're going to have to take the hit that you're just doing this to do this, but over a question of time, you become, like Chuck Colson. Remember when Chuck Colson became a preacher and everybody thought it was just BS after Watergate? Well, here we are 35 years later. He's still a preacher.
Right. I think Michael Vick is in a difficult situation.
Got it. All right. All right. Thanks, Rich. Mm-hmm. Michael Vick and the plea bargain. Coming up next, another huge toy recall from Fisher-Price. A lot of toys made in China are not doing well. As a matter of fact, we just heard that Hoffman's, the one where the dog poops. What is it?
Barbie and Tanner. Tanner's
and Tanner,
the dog.
Yeah. Poopy dog, right?
Yes, yeah.
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 It's been recalled.
That's great.
It's been recalled. Turns out that the poop itself has diseases.
This is not going to be a happy birthday in the Hoffman house.
719 handle here. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 725 KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Bill Handel, Tuesday morning, August the 14th. Mattel issues a recall today. Millions of Chinese-made toys that contain magnets.
Like Chinese.
Could be swallowed by children, or they have lead paint. So now this recall is 7.3 million playsets, Polly Pocket dolls, Batman action figures, 1.5 million die-cast cars. Not good news. So now the recall products from China, the list is getting longer and longer. Faulty tires, tainted toothpaste, medicine, of course, we know. 80% of toys sold worldwide are made in China, and toy sellers are a little bit nervous, obviously. Earlier this month, consumers were warned by another 1.5 million Chinese-made toys that contained lead paint. Then we have yesterday the recall 253,000 Sarge brand cars. The paint could contain lead. And the big news, of course, is on that list now is the very toy that Gary bought his kid, and that is the Barbie and Tanner, Tanner being the crapping dog.
Oh, I would have bought it if I had seen it. It was actually a gift from somebody else, but it is in our house now.
And it is. Now, Barbie doll and Tanner is a Barbie with the dog that craps, right?
Yes. And you feed it little metal pellets, and then it poops out the back of the dog
the
where
same
poop
pellets?
Comes from. Those same pellets.
Uh-huh.
And apparently doesn't digest very well.
And there's a pooper scooper that
the
Barbie
The scooper
has.
Is the problem.
Uh-huh. Now, let me ask you a question. This is for your son?
My daughter.
Oh, your daughter. Okay, I was wondering, giving a Barbie doll to your son is a little bit problematic, is it not?
Gee, yes.
So your daughter takes a little Barbie doll and scoops up the poop, the
right.
lead-based poop now, right?
Yes.
And if she swallows it...
Well, she's not going to eat the dog's poo.
Well, why not? How old is she?
5.
How do you know?
She knows that it's poo. The problem is the magnet, I think, in the scooper that picks up the magnetic lead-based poo.
Could be swallowed?
They don't want that because then it would gather. If you also ate the poo, it could coagulate. And
I get it. So are you going to be returning your Barbie and Tanner dog?
I don't know.
Why not? If you're not worried about your kids swallowing, what do you care?
That's a good point. But I went down the list. Michelle showed me the list from the other recall as well, and I didn't look through the earlier recall. I'm going to have to clean out her room.
You know what?
Polly Pockets are gone. Dora, everything.
You know, just a couple things with your kid. Don't let him eat toys. Don't let him eat paint. You'll be fine.
Or fake dog poo.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. When we come up, Dr. Jim Keeney on a couple of things. First of all, the King Harbor closing. We want his view on that. And West Nile virus. Turns out Panorama City or Pacoima or whatever the hell it is is now central to the whole thing. They found more West Nile virus there than any place in America. What is that? What is the town? Do we have that?
Panorama City.
Is now West Nile virus central. That's exciting. We'll talk about that coming up. 729, Bill Handel and the Morning Crew. This is KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 738 now, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Bill Handel. On a Tuesday, August 14th, up at 8 o'clock, driving while texting seems to be a rather huge problem. And before we go to Dr. Jim Keeney, I want to tell you we only have a couple of hundred tickets left for either Friday or Saturday night for our anniversary extravaganza. So we are very close to being sold out, and I'm going to suggest if you want to see our show, please jump on it today, tomorrow at the latest. Our 14th anniversary extravaganza, American Idiot, Idiots in the News, a year in review, presented by KFI and MasterServe, Southern California's original copper repipe specialist, August 24th, August 25th, Friday and Saturday night at the Grove of Anaheim, the tasteless, over-the-top, incredibly rude and offensive variety show. The entire morning crew is involved. We sing, we dance, we lampoon the year's idiots in the news. It is horrifically wonderful. It really is. Funny, funny, funny. And it's a 2.5-hour show. It's a big-time show, a real band and everything. Prior to the show, we have a walkthrough experience in the lobby at the Grove. You can read about past idiots. We have all kinds of booths, giveaways, a lot of interactivity going on, just a lot of fun. Tickets can be purchased at the Grove of Anaheim box office. You can go to Ticketmaster.com or you can call 714-740-2000. Tickets start at $45. The show is a riot. It is a hoot. Our handle, 14th anniversary extravaganza, American Idiot, Idiots in the News, brought to you in part by HMS Capital. Now, Dr. Jim Keeney is with us from Mission Hospital in Orange County. Two stories to cover. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Bill.
All right. We'll do the Panorama City becoming West Nile virus central for some reason. Is anything to do with the Kaiser in Panorama City?
Maybe. Okay. They're testing more for it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. We might as well just start with that, and then we'll go to King Drew. First of all, West Nile, you hear a lot about it. But from what I understand, unless you happen to be old and decrepit or young and decrepit, it's not going to really do much, right?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people, and the statistics show a lot of people get this disease and don't even know it. They end up having a flu-like illness, and it just goes away. So, yeah.
So you get the flu, basically.
You know, sure, you get the flu. Unless you're a crow, it sounds like, because they're saying that the crows are all dying from it this year. So,
And everybody hates crows anyway, so what do we care?
Exactly. So, I haven't seen the crow population in my area diminish much. But
hey, so what is it about Panorama City?
I don't know. Maybe they have more areas where the mosquito can actually grow, or maybe the population just intensified there this year. But if it intensified there, it'll spread out from there.
Now, is it airborne, or can you only get it from mosquitoes?
It's only from mosquitoes. Really, the only way you can get it. You can't necessarily get it from another crow. You get it from a mosquito that bites the crow and then bites
right.
you.
So if you're treating someone with West Nile, you're not going to get it from that person?
Probably not. As far as I know, you can't transmit it person to person.
All right, so that's helpful. And then, of course, they go back to the mosquito abatement business, which, by the way, is still going on full blast. I mean, if you look at your tax bill, incidentally, your property tax bill, there is. You're paying money into the mosquito abatement, bureaucracy, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, mosquitoes are definitely a vector for disease. It's not just West Nile virus. There's a lot of other diseases we could start seeing you know, a lot of other, we call encephalopathies, which infect the brain, and dengue fever. We don't have that here yet, but, you know, places that do have it, people are scared of mosquitoes.
Yeah, what, malaria, dengue fever, I mean, all kinds of fun diseases.
Exactly.
How about the big hemorrhagic fevers? Are those involved with mosquitoes at all?
Some of them are, yeah. But, again, thank goodness we don't have any of those in this hemisphere, so that's good. They, you know, and the bottom line is when you're talking about such a small number, relatively, of people who get this disease, it really may be just that in Panorama City, somebody's getting a little more gung-ho about testing for this, and they're finding more.
Hmm. All right, so not a whole lot to worry about other than if you have standing water and mosquitoes, do something about it. What do you do?
Yeah, the bottom line is you should do everything you can to eliminate standing water, eliminate breeding grounds for mosquitoes.
If you do find one, if you see a mosquito larvae and mosquitoes flying around, I assume you call the mosquito folks, right?
Well, you don't panic. You just do what you can to eliminate the standing water. You look anywhere online, and they'll give you all the different ways to eliminate mosquitoes. But the bottom line, too, is that you also want to protect yourself against mosquitoes. We don't think about that much in California because they're not that big of a problem.
Right.
But especially if you're going to be somewhere, you know, at sunset, when they're really active, then you probably want to put on some sunscreen that contains mosquito repellent or just plain mosquito repellent.
All right. Now, let's switch gears for a moment and talk about King Harbor Hospital of Death.
Sure.
obviously has died. And even the big news was even Supervisor Yvonne Burke changed her mind. This is a woman that said, over my dead body, is this place going to close down? And after the 124-page report by the federal inspectors that effectively described this hospital as never even coming close to meeting minimum standards, is this aberrational or are a lot of hospitals in this position across the country, Jim?
You know, in most ways, I think this is aberrational, but of course, if you looked at any hospital, you would find certain areas where they need a little work and other areas where they're doing quite well.
Yeah, so, but don't the inspectors, when they go through there, say, okay, you need work here, but they're not going to shut the place down.
Right. No, I mean, if inspectors didn't find something when they went through hospitals, they wouldn't be able to justify their existence. So every hospital that they look at, they find something. And that's the point, is then there's a correctional plan, you follow the correctional plan, they come back, and everything's good. And that's very common.
Let me ask you, when the inspectors come around to your facility, Jim, do you guys sweat? Or
yeah.
It's not a pleasant experience for you.
No,
people.
Even in our hospital where we receive commendations when they come through, everybody sweats. I mean, there's, and like I said, this is clearly a leadership problem. You know, when we have a review, all of a sudden you see administrators coming out of the woodwork like you wouldn't believe. You know, they're doing a lot of overtime hours because that's really where all this stuff starts from. You've got the grunts in the field here, and we're just trying to do our work to see patients. You don't really have time to address these issues. It really has to be a leadership issue. And that's why all this talk about, you know, we're not going to let these people work anywhere else, you know, I think it's just ridiculous because, you know, under the appropriate leadership, I'm sure a lot of these healthcare providers would have done a lot better job.
You know, what's amazing about this is you look at the level of non-compliance. Now, after Martin Luther King Hospital, right, King Harbor has been targeted time and time and time again, and they're on their last legs after the last inspection. Last legs. County supervisor, everybody knows about that. The inspectors come out, and, you know, they found no functioning quality improvement plan whatsoever at the hospital. Two key managers who were supposed to oversee the plan had been on the job a couple of weeks only, and it had only assessed 40% of the hospital's inpatient service and none of the outpatient service when the feds shut it down. I mean, that is so insane, it almost defies credulity. How do they, how do you explain something like this? It's almost like they purposely did it.
Right. I mean, waiting until you only have 2 weeks left, that's the problem. You see, and that's a sign that the leadership did not understand the significance of this potentially, or they just didn't have the tools and the ability to respond. You know, so when when you get wind that they're coming, suddenly that's when you're supposed to jump into action and do everything you can. Now, in 2 weeks, the fact that they couldn't pull something together, that's completely reasonable, because when you're talking about running a hospital, there's so much involved and so much that the feds need to review when they come in.
You know, two things that I want to point out real quick, and I want you to comment on that. Number one, because Martin Luther King Hospital was more of a political entity than I think ever it was a hospital, this was the icon of the black community. It was there after the riots. They thought they were untouchable. No one's going to it was Yvonne Berthway Burke said it herself. Over my dead body will they shut this thing down. I don't care what the feds do, what anybody says, this is never going to be shut down. And I think they took that one to heart. The other thing, and the other question, this one I want you to respond to. When you have a hospital that cannot make money on its face, that is a loser from day one, where 90% of the people are uninsured and they get into massive injuries, can you run it at all?
Well, okay, number one, I'm going to disagree with the premise for your first statement, is that never a hospital at all. I think it was a hospital. I think there were people there that knew medicine and knew what to do.
No, I didn't say it wasn't a hospital. I said it was more of a political organization than it was a hospital.
Okay.
I'm saying it was a hospital,
but
its political entity was far more important to that community and to the people running it.
Right. I agree. I see what you're saying. But on the other hand, we got to give credit to the fact that there were people there that showed up for work every day and provided health care for people. And so it was a hospital. But again, I don't think they were given the tools. And it may be they weren't given the tools because of your second question, which is when you don't have a good public health care system, and in the United States we spend so much money per person for the health care that we receive. Yeah, a lot of people can argue we get some of the best health care in the world, but the price is just astronomical.
Right. And we get some of the worst, too.
Right. And so if you look at health care per dollar, we're in the bottom rung for sure.
Amazing?
So, you know, when you're looking at that, they may not have ever had the tools to be able to do much more than what they've done. Because you're right. The bottom line is when you're taking care of people that mostly have no insurance and mostly are not reimbursing the care, then it's all falling on government dollars.
All right, Jim. Thank you. We'll talk again.
Anytime.
Take care. Dr. Jim Keeney, ER doctor at Mission Hospital in Orange County. Coming up. Look at your hotel bill next time you stay on vacation. You can't believe what the hotels are now charging you for. They're not nickel and diming you to death. They're dollaring you to death. And I'll explain why in just a moment. 749 handle here. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 756, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Bill Handel, it is a Tuesday morning, August 14th. If you've traveled at all the last couple of years and you look at the hotels that you've been staying at, look at the bills. There is now something known as guest gouging that's going on. I notice that all the time. It's driving me nuts. Fees. And I'm not talking about the fees like, you know, the porn movie, which you know you're going to pay for, or extra fees for making outside phone calls. I'm talking about things like charges for having an in-room safe, whether you use it or not, or for receiving a package, or to store your luggage at the front desk. I mean, I just did that in New York, and they charged $2 a bag. Normally, the bellhop charges nothing. You just tip them. Oh, no, $2 a bag to store it for a couple of hours. Energy surcharges. Those are fun. Mini maid service. A mini bar stocking fee, whether you use a mini bar or not. And then mandatory gratuities. Service charge whenever delivery is made to your room service. And then you're supposed to put a tip on top of that. And I don't know if you stayed at any resort. They add a resort fee for the tennis courts, the swimming pools, whether you use it or not. By the way, those resort fees can be up to $40 a day. What the hell does that mean? It's extra charge to the room. And they're going to happen at upscale hotels where you're already paying a lot of money. 60% of high-end hotels now charge for internet connections. Now, that's kind of disgusting. It really is. So why do they do this? Why don't they just charge a rate, you know, raise your fee $10 and leave me alone? Oh, no. They need the money to pay for the luxury items in the room, for the flat-screen TVs, the better mattresses, the bathroom fixtures. And the reason they don't just raise the rate, the actual room rate, is they say it's a psychological deterrent for customers. It's basically a bait and switch. We want to get you in the door. It's like airplanes. Cheap fares, and then we'll hit you with, which is what a lot of the new cheapo creepo airlines are doing in Europe. Very cheap fares. You want to check in a bag, it's money. You want to buy a soda, it's money. You want a window seat, it's money. You want preferred seating, it's money. It's all money. So how do you protect yourself? Well, you tell the hotel reservation people you want an upfront list. What are you going to charge me for? And by the way, contest it. Just say I won't pay it. I think that's a rip. And they'll usually back down. If you scream loud enough, maybe you won't be invited back. But bitch and moan, especially in front of a bunch of people checking in. That's always good. Embarrasses the hell out of them. You want to go just to the point before they call the police and have you thrown out. That's what I find works very well. Coming up, driving while texting. Huge problems. Killing people. Killing them. 759. Handle here. KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.